Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everyone. My name is Jeff Hancock, your host of the CoinPass podcast, where we talk about all things crypto, staking, and blockchain. Today, we're having a very special talk about crypto and crypto taxes. Now, it's usually one of the more boring topics or one of the topics a lot of investors choose to avoid, but it can actually be very helpful, somewhat exciting, but obviously very important to hanging on to all of those crypto gains. I'm joined with two very special guests of mine, good friends of mine. I've known in the industry for a few years now. Ben Lee, who's partner at PKF Francis Clark, who's probably one of the UK's leading tax experts on crypto, and Dan Howitt from Recap, who is a software specialist around crypto taxes in the UK and runs a great platform to help calculate all of those loose odds and ends for you. So welcome, Dan. Welcome, Ben. Thanks for coming on today.
Cheers, Jeff. Good to be here.
Excellent. So let's kind of jump right into it. Just for everyone that might be aware or unaware, you do have to pay tax on crypto, you know, just like every other investment out there. But I mean, let's kind of go around the table with a little quick intro, but also what are your thoughts from, say, you know, the crypto in the UK from maybe 2018 to now? How has tax kind of been treated and how has it kind of evolved? Ben?
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Dan. So I've been kind of been around in crypto since 2013. And the first kind of iteration of the tax guidance that came out from HMRC was in 2014. And that's when they had a statement that said that cryptocurrency could be so highly speculative, it could be considered gambling. And I can remember, you know, 2017, I'd done a little bit of trading. I was trying to work out what tax to pay. And the Telegraph had picked this up and were basically like, you don't need to pay tax on your crypto. It's gambling. And I can also remember, you know, calling my accountant at the time. My accountant was categorically telling me, no, that is not the case. And since then, we've seen the guidance adapt. And in 2018, there was the full suite of crypto asset guidance released from HMRC. And that basically clarified that crypto assets are capital assets. And I think it's important to say that, you know, almost every Western jurisdiction treats crypto assets or cryptocurrency as a capital asset. Since then, we've seen we've seen more updates to the guidance. We've seen some commentary on staking that was updated 2021. And 2022, we've just had some clarification on how they're approaching DeFi, particularly DeFi loans, which I'm sure we could probably get into a little bit later.
And Ben, what's your experience in crypto and versus your experience in tax over, say, the last 5 years? What's your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into this sort of space a little bit later than Dan, but probably around 2016, 2017. But again, it's sort of been an area of interest in terms of, you know, how do you approach it? What do you disclose? How do you disclose? You know, categorically, everything that Dan said there in terms of the brief history of the tax guidance on this is you know, out there for people to see. And it's you know, whilst it's now more in the public domain, it's not perhaps the most easily accessible, and it's still not without layers of complexities, as, you know, is in this space. In any case, so I think the difficulty here is obviously how much this space is developing, how quickly things are moving. Trying to stay on top of that is going to be difficult for anyone trying to produce guidance. But yeah, as Dan sort of alluded to there, you know, we're fairly comfortable in the UK that what we've got are assets, which differs from other jurisdictions where actually they might look at crypto is more of a currency, but fundamentally, yes, we are on a mass scale using assets to transact with.
And I mean, in your eyes, what do you think has been a positive development, say, in the last 12 months? I mean, I know from our perspective, you know, we're an exchange, we deal with the FCA. Back in 2017, 2018, there was kind of no narrative. It was Bitcoin and crypto are the same thing. Then it became Bitcoin, crypto, blockchains, utility tokens, security tokens. So it started to develop, the narrative kept getting bigger, until we finally had a guideline we could fit into our business. So what do you think has been positive for, you know, the average investor that might do a bit of buy and hold and a bit of trading? What sort of positive developments have you seen in the last 12 months, Ben?
I actually think some of the positive developments have been the software, but I'll let Dan talk about that.
That's a great plug there, Ben. Cheers.
Absolutely. But the difficulty here that we have is, you know, there's not been too much engagement. You know, there's an education around crypto. Two, there's an education needed around sort of crypto and our current tax system and the tax legislation that we have. Now, that isn't really coming from anywhere other than sort of advice and just people making noise in this space. So whilst, you know, it might sound a bit bizarre, I actually do think the guidance is good, because it's forcing people to have more conversations and for people to understand, you know, the environments that they're in and actually their, you know, obligations, tax implications associated with what they've been doing, which for some people, as you sort of said there, Jeff, if you're just buying, hodling and selling, then fantastic. You've got more clarity. You kind of know where the land lies. Like, no one wants to receive a letter from HMRC's going, oh, actually, you know, we've got no notice here that you've been doing some crypto transactions that you haven't reported for the last few years. It's allowing people to be on the front foot of it, but to help people with that, you know, we can go on to why, but the software element is key. But I'll let Dan obviously talk about that a bit more.
Yeah, Dan, perfect segue with you there.
Yeah, I mean, positivity wise, I would say that the UK is probably world leading in terms of its crypto asset guidance from a tax authority. So although, you know, if this was live and it was in front of a crypto audience, I'd probably have tomatoes thrown at me for mentioning tax and crypto. But the reality is, you know, tax on crypto is here to stay. And, you know, the guidance just clarifies the law that there always has been tax on crypto assets. Now, whether that changes in the future, I don't know. I personally think it will have to, because the pace of change is so fast. I think it will dramatically have to. But right now, they are very, like HMRC, for example, are very much on top of the guidance. I would say they are world leading. So at least we have some clarity. At least people that have got themselves into a position can file and they can sleep at night knowing what tax they do have to pay and what they don't have to pay. That uncertainty is a massive pain point. And it's also a massive pain point for crypto businesses as well. So, you know, there's a number of like loan platforms that we're looking at coming over to the UK. I know that, you know, personally, after speaking to some of them, they've referenced the guidance and they appreciate that level of clarity. So I'd say that's one of the positive things. I would also say as well that it seems that HMRC and government in general are acutely aware that there are some challenges in existing legislation for crypto assets that make the UK anti-competitive. So I did mention briefly about the new guidance that HMRC released in February of this year. I won't get into too much detail around it because it is pretty deep. But essentially they're saying, if you do something with your crypto assets, like lend it or loan it, that could constitute a change of beneficial owner, which then opens up the whole question of, you know, you might be thinking you're transferring one asset to another wallet on a lending account. You actually might be creating a tax disposal. I think it's really safe to say that HMRC and UK government are acutely aware that that is a massive problem. If you are a UK individual, a US individual, you can make use of all of these lending platforms, collateralized loans, without this worry. In the UK, there's a grey area at the moment if you are creating tax disposals based on a change of beneficial owner.
We're the only country that have actually got it. Other than Norway, we're the only country that's got guidance on DeFi. So we're the second country in the world to actually issue that guidance. And that's
pretty positive in some respects, yeah.
Definitely, I mean, especially after, I think it was just today, actually, this morning before we filmed this podcast, when Goldman Sachs announced their first product for Bitcoin-backed collateral loans.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the minimum is, obviously, for their high net worth, only for their, obviously, the OTC trading desks. But it goes to show that there is an appetite in this space now for larger banks that recognize a digital asset as a form of collateral. Now, the loan to value might be very high because the volatility. Let's say, you know, you can get a 95% mortgage on a house because it's bricks and mortar, etc. On the crypto side, they're still offering 20-30% loan to value. So if you're holding £10,000 worth of Bitcoin, you could theoretically get a £3,000, you know, 0% loan. And these types of platforms are only become more popular now because instead of disposing of the asset for a crypto spending debit card, etc., these collateralized offerings are going to allow people the true utility that we expected from crypto, which is to be our own bank. So really, you know, I was in a position, I was looking at buying a house. I might put it off another 2 or 3 years now. I could use my Bitcoin as collateral instead of having to sell it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think touching on what Dan was sort of saying earlier around beneficial ownership, which is, let's face it, how we've considered assets since the legislation's been in place. I think there's an interesting point there around when that beneficial, sorry, I say interesting, like, so Jeff, you need to sort of just check on me here because I'm a tax advisor, and if I'm at risk of boring anyone, just rein it in. But this idea of beneficial ownership is really interesting when obviously what we're getting to is things like smart contracts and code, yeah. Because fundamentally there's a risk of over personifying what's actually happening to deem there to be a change in ownership when it is code at the end of the day. And I know this is something, you know, from a legal perspective, people are giving this the right amount of attention in terms of legal entities, structures, smart contracts, etc. But that's what's causing, you know, a lot of scrutiny over the T's and C's of this platform, and a lot of judgment calls need to be made here in terms of actually what's really happening to the token.
And that's where, I mean, what's the difference between using a smart contract and maybe a centralized platform like our own? You know, are the rules the same for everything, or is it one of those, it depends? And I think it's good, like you say, it's good it's getting that level of scrutiny because there are multiple offerings getting built on a daily basis. So trying to make a framework that incorporates everything is kind of impossible. But at least having a few different compartments to sit in is obviously the right way forward. And just to backpedal it just a little bit for a second, we're probably going to get onto, you know, strategies that investors can employ. But what is just, you know, people sometimes almost put the horse before the cart. What is the standard UK allowance for crypto investing and tax gains?
I'll let you cover this one, Ben, if that's all right.
Annual allowance for capital gains tax purposes, which is £12,300, that you can effectively, if you make gains within that limit, that's exempt each year. It's only when you go over those limits that effectively you then start having to pay capital gains.
So if you're making more than 12K, you have to pay.
Effectively.
You have to disclose it, obviously, but if you're not making more than 12K, you're fine.
So actually, when it comes to disclosure, it's four times that annual exemption amount. So let's say if I sold £100,000 worth of crypto, even if I didn't make a gain, technically, if I'm doing a self-assessment return each year, I would need to disclose that on my self-assessment return. If I just did, you know, if I sold £20,000 of crypto, my gain's under £12,000, then no, there's no obligation to disclose that.
Are you not even obligated to disclose it, really?
You don't have to put it on your tax return. No. Now, you know, conversely, if I was making a loss, I might want to disclose that on the tax return so I can actually, you know, notify that I've got a loss that I could then use going forwards.
I suppose that comes down to optimization, which obviously your software helps out quite a lot with, Dan. Is that what's an optimal strategy that people can employ if they're doing a bit of DeFi and doing a bit of trading? Your platform obviously incorporates all of that to show that, like, well, you could be doing a little bit more or you could be doing a little bit less, but this is your real-time exposure.
Yeah, I mean, getting to a point where we can show you your real-time tax position is kind of like the aim. So although there's an allowance of $12,300 a year, you've got to crunch the numbers to work out if you're over or under that allowance.
Exactly.
Which is kind of like the
gains, not volume, which a lot of people sometimes confuse.
Yeah. And this is where the big problem in crypto comes in. So, you know, the vast majority of people in crypto are trading crypto to crypto. So Bitcoin for Ethereum or even to a stable coin as well. So stable coins are assets and not currency. And because you're trading asset to asset, it's just not, you know, it's just not understandable, the tax implications of that. So Recap gives you clarity on your tax position, so you can plan moving forward. And one of the things I do, you know, if I'm looking at making a disposal, I'll just literally type it into Recap quickly to work out the tax implications of that. Can I sell it for USD rather than a stable coin that might not use my Section 104 pool? Can I look at products such as collateralized loans on some other platforms, if we disregard the latest guidance. and that beneficial ownership question. But that's the whole point of recap, to give you that clarity.
Cool. And I suppose this is probably directed mostly at you, Ben, because we had to reschedule this podcast originally because of your busy schedule. But what's any indications for the next kind of year or two on the HMRC? Is anything going to fundamentally change? Is there really some good nuggets out of there we could expect to be good news?
Well, yeah, it's really interesting because obviously, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had the news that the government was really behind crypto. You know, they want the UK to be this place that, you know, crypto can thrive. And one of the things that was actually cited in the statement by John Glenn was actually, you know, a review of the DeFi guidance that we just received in February of this year. So one of the things that, you know, we can probably expect to see from HMRC is a call for evidence at some point this year. And that will be, you know, a set number of questions that will go out for anyone to respond to sort of go, look, okay, these are our thoughts on the way that it's currently applied, perhaps the tax rates, I don't know, various other questions that they want to ask from the public to then report back to ministers. Now, I think that's really positive. Anyone watching this, please keep your ear to the web for when that is actually released, because again, the only thing that perhaps could make any changes here is a lot of responses and a lot of good responses as to what people actually think about what we've currently got. You know, the concern is that actually not many people respond, or people find the current guidance or the way that we go about taxing it too complicated to really feel comfortable responding. And in which case, you know, if there's a lack of responses there, then ultimately legislation won't change. But I think the fact that we've got that engagement there, and there's going to be a piece where actually people can, you know, provide their opinions, provide feedback on that, I think is really positive in the next year.
And Dan, have you seen specifically on what you guys carry at Recap, are you guys responding to that stuff before it happens? Do you have to wait for a cycle to go through before you can kind of integrate that into your platform?
So we do try and keep on top of the guidance. We do work quite closely with Crypto UK, their crypto tax working groups. And I would say now we're at a point where we have got an established crypto industry in the UK, and we can kind of punch above our weight a little bit now through industry trade groups to make sure we get our voices heard. So we do actually have a lot of positive engagement with HMRC through Crypto UK. And we do try and stay ahead of the curve in terms of guidance.
What about some of this, something that we're receiving quite a lot on now that we've launched stable tokens at coinpass.com, is receiving crypto as payment. Sometimes in a stable token form, it's basically like your business is receiving, say, US dollars and you're converting it to pounds. But what about when they're receiving Bitcoin or Ethereum as a form of payment for a service, or, you know, selling an item or a good? How does that kind of work then?
Yeah, so it entirely depends on the nature of which, you know, you're receiving that. If that's as part of a trade, or I've done something where I've sold something and I've just happened to receive Bitcoin or stablecoin in return, then, you know, what will happen under general rules is that that is subject to income tax, or perhaps corporation tax if I'm doing it within my business. That's then basically impacted at the spot rate at which that asset is received. So, you know, if it's received in stablecoin, then big thumbs up in some ways, because that's, you know, not going to be volatile. You don't really have too many further considerations. But if I was receiving Bitcoin or any other, you know, form of more volatile currency for services, then I would just need to think, because I'm sort of being taxed on it when it comes in for income tax or corporation tax further down the line. But if markets change in the meantime and I don't have the liquidity to pay the tax on that, then perhaps I need to make provisions for the tax accordingly.
Right, so it's the spot rate at which it arrives and gets sold, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, let's say I held on to that Bitcoin, so I've received Bitcoin for my services and there's an income tax charge on that. Now, if I hold on to that Bitcoin and then I sell that at a later date and it's increased in value, then I've got a capital gain on my assets, but I do get relief for the amount on which that income tax was already paid. So what you do have, you know, unlike obviously receiving fiat you know, stable coin, really, you just get that tax point on receipts. You do have this sense of, right, okay, well, I've got one charge here, but then there's also potentially other things going on after that receipt that I need to just be aware of.
Right. Okay. So it just comes down to more detailed record keeping more than anything else.
Yeah. Software.
No, well, it is. I mean, we're in a software day. There was literally, you know, it was back in 2000, 2001. There's an app for that. And now there's an integration for that. You know, I know the accountants still love the old CSV and a good Excel. Having that good integration in real time, showing your representations, obviously the more user friendly approach. The same way we do
the problem that you
platforms. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. No, I was going to say, I mean, the problem that you have, right? I mean, accountants, you're right. We love a good CSV. We love a good spreadsheet. Probably a couple of years ago, you said there's nothing that couldn't be done on a spreadsheet. Well, welcome to crypto, where you've got so many transactions going on. Spreadsheet's not going to cut it.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of where we're almost kind of moving, is that the whole idea of sending a message soon, or, you know, any sort of transaction is going to have that, you know, it is going to be fully transparent. You are going to have, you know, the center of your universe being a MetaMask style app that has your ID, you know, your administration into your public transit system or whatever it's going to be. It's going to be centered around some sort of wallet, whether we know it's a blockchain or not. But we talked a little bit there about kind of staking and DeFi. And obviously there's the concern of, are you disposing of the asset? Are you lending it out? The rules kind of need to change about that. And does that mean any of those kind of yielding gains, are they still considered, gaining an asset at the point of their value, or are you getting some sort of income?
Generally, I think staking is still pretty clear from the UK guidance. So staking, you are effectively participating in validating blocks, which is akin to mining. And I think it's pretty much safe to say that, you know, if you earn income from that, it's income on receipt. And then would be a capital gains tax disposal when you then later sell that asset.
Right, okay. So I put my Solana out there, I stake it, I'm getting an extra 10 Solana per month. There's obviously a rate at which I receive those 10 Solanas. And then if I keep them, there's a gain in the future, or a loss, depending. And then if I compound those, obviously I'm going to keep increasing my potential taxable disposal later in life.
One of the concerns there really is with the guidance, and depending on the platform, you know, you're taking your rewards, you're then compounding, you know, potentially within that guidance, what could be happening is just so many tax points along the way. So let's say, you know, you're staking, and let's say that is a disposal for capital gains tax purposes, which may or may not give rise to a charge. You claim your rewards, you compound, well, you've just lost control of those rewards. So what's the position there? And this is the current it's the current issue, really. It's not a frictionless process. There's just a lot of potential tax triggers, as Dan was saying earlier. You know, it's that sense of just, it's not just crypto to fiat, it's crypto to crypto. But it's also even more complicated than that because of what people might be doing on a platform. And it just creates so many potential tax points. Mm-hmm. That's where the complexity comes in.
One place I'm not going to take it is bridging between chains. We're not going to go there today.
I think it's important to kind of echo what Ben was just saying. I mean, when we get into the realms of smart contracts, you can program a smart contract to do almost anything. And therefore, almost the tax consequences become almost, you know, you can't define them as such. You know, we're getting to this kind of headwind now where certainly existing legislation just doesn't fit crypto assets. And that crypto assets may need to be recognized as their own independent asset class moving forward.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. It's that sense of, I said earlier, you know, we've got assets that we are using to transact, and we're doing everything that we can basically do within normal traditional finance systems, but with assets, not money. And because of that, you know, the tax system's not used to us bartering in these ways, or sort of doing these transactions. And it's, I completely agree, Dan. Like, it'd be great to have something specific to digital assets.
And so I suppose just to round out a little bit, as a non-financial advice, as a non-advisory as well, as just a free floating opinion, what, in your opinion, do you think is the most tax optimal strategy for the average investor right now? Is it a simple buy and hold? Is it day trading Dogecoin? Is it staking and holding? What's something that excites you that you like in crypto, but you also think could be rolled into a tax optimal strategy?
This is a tricky one. Go on, Ben.
No, I was going to say you're putting, you know, people that work in tax on the in a position to give up. Nothing I will say is going to be free tax advice. But
what interests you? I mean, because everyone's got their part of the space. I'm a buy and hold investor. I'm not a trader. I can do it. I can read a chart. I just don't prefer to. So for me, you know, whether it's tax optimal or not at the moment, well, tax optimal might be moving to Portugal. That's what a lot of people seem to be doing. It's definitely, well, I'm in dollar cost averaging. I buy the same amount every single month, every single week, and I'm plotting that off for a very long period into the future. Does that open me up for a very large taxable gain in the future? Yes, yes, it does. But that's also assuming that I dispose of it all at the same time, which I probably won't be. So part of my long-term tax plan is wait for the market to evolve even more, wait for some of the tax regimes to evolve even more, and then basically see what happens and fit within those kind of guidelines. Now, is that going to hurt me on a year-to-year basis? Well, it kind of depends. My emails are going off now. I've got alerts coming out the wazoo. There we go. Which are on the podcast. I apologize for everyone getting my email alerts. But that's going to be my longer-term strategy, stacking up my Bitcoin, waiting for some of these more collateralized platforms to come out. And then maybe I'm not actually selling my crypto. I'm getting loans against them to fund any other asset acquisitions I might do or any other lifestyle living. So I'm kind of waiting for the market to catch up to what crypto can really offer.
I mean, and that's an interesting point, isn't it? I mean, obviously the best tax advice I could give to anyone is don't sell. Don't change, don't do anything. Not creating a tax liability.
Just don't even invest in crypto. Just don't do it.
Don't get into it. And I've saved you thousands in tax. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting point there, Jeff. And whilst I can note, general caveat, not investment advice, not tax advice. But yeah, with the way things are evolving, actually, you know, but do we get to a point where we can transact more freely in crypto and it's no longer considered to be a tax disposal, because actually things have evolved and we consider it to be more of a currency than perhaps it was before. Yeah. Trouble is, who knows? You know, there's the standard sort of things people should consider, I think, before the end of the tax year, which are, you know, review your portfolio. If you've got things that aren't particularly performing well, actually maybe it's worth disposing of them to crystallize a loss. Please don't then get in the next day, because the way that the capital gains system works in terms of how you match the things you buy against the things you sell, if you buy it within the next day or the next 30 days, it makes no difference. But to be able to have that sort of real-time analysis of your portfolio, what makes sense, what might not be performing, what might be a good idea to just get rid of and crystallize that loss and put it into a better project that you think.
Exactly. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that, Ben. I think there's a lot to be said of keeping it simple. So, you know, we see a lot of people that come into the market, they get really excited. They might start their journey getting into what I would call like a primary asset like Bitcoin or Ethereum. They then want to jump into other projects because they've seen crazy gains. And the more kind of activity you create, the more kind of emphasis you're putting on yourself to track your portfolio, because then you're going to have to understand maybe cutting losses, proactivity of your portfolio. I think the more you're exposed to things like scams, and get involved in, you know, if the market turns against you. So by keeping it simple, you get to sleep at night. And I'm a big fan of time in the market versus then timing the market. And if you get into that kind of mindset, you're always going to win with crypto, in my view. You know, take that long-term plan towards it. And you'll only pay one lot of tax on disposal, right?
Exactly. That's been amazing. So I want to thank Ben and Dan for sharing their time today. It's quite difficult to get these two guys on the phone at the same time, so I hope you enjoyed the content. We will not be doing another one of these until next tax year. I think it's a really important topic that people are choosing to neglect and kind of hide away until later. The taxman is not to be feared. I mean, using some good strategies can actually make you some extra cash, can actually give you a couple of extra points of yield, and also avoid getting a nasty letter down the mail, because that stuff, it's like a rash, doesn't go away. So I want to thank Ben again for his time coming on today, sharing some of the content. Dan, telling us a bit more about Recap and sharing your thoughts.
Of course.
Obviously been a lot of good fun. And join us for our next podcast very, very soon. Thank you very much, guys.